Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts. You know, we're in the Advent season, meaning that we are celebrating the birth of Christ. And now we know by history that he's already been born, but we always keep back telling the old story of Jesus and his love. And I would like to take a little time to be personal today, and I hope and pray that you allow me to do that. And I'm going to tell you an interesting and a very unusual story. In fact, it's a personal testimony, and I delight in telling it. My work brings me into contact with many people. In fact, I deal with all kinds of people, from the humblest of country folks, if you would, to the highest officials in government and everywhere else. It's an honor to be able to do that. But the event that I most vividly recall happened at one of the year's peak seasons. Our country's leader had felt that additional taxes were needed for us to meet our budget, so he urged all the citizens to have their names registered at the polls so they could be duly taxed. Of course, this meant many thousands had to make their way across the countryside to the city to represent their political interests. I remember the weather was cool, it was fresh, the smell of spring was like in the air, grass was even good enough for limited grazing on the nearby hillsides, and well, the days were rather pleasant, but I must admit, the nights were somewhat chilly. But one night in particular stands out in my memory, and it seems that the crowd had been unusually large that day. Many had come by seeking lodging for the night, and as they lived at a great distance to return home for bedtime, they were looking for a place to stay. But I had already turned dozens away to seek shelter elsewhere. I'm exhausted thinking about it. I had dozed off at the register's counter when I was awakened by a gentle tap, tap, tap on the counter. Ooh, startling. Coming to, I made a figure out. There was a young couple standing in the lingering shadows of the lamplight. "May I help you?" I asked, jumping up and coming to the place to greet them. And as the young man just stood there with his pretty companion, he began to speak in a low, trembling voice. "Do you have room for room?" I blurted out bluntly. "No, no, no, no. There's no room here. You should have come earlier, or at least sent me word. You'll have to go elsewhere." Well, I went back and sat back down, and I continued my nap. I like to sit and take a nap. With much to my surprise, the young man spoke again. "But, sir, you gotta have room." I angrily jumped up and shouted at him. "I don't have anything for you. I told you, I can't take care of you, so beat it. I gotta get some rest myself." But patiently and kindly he responded, "But sir, please, my wife is expecting a baby right away. We tried everywhere. All the rooms are full. Can't you give her some place, please, sir?" Well, looking closer, I noticed that, yeah, the young man was speaking the truth about his wife, and then I began to really feel sorry for them, and I thought for a moment, and then I said, "Well, if you need a place to stay, you can't be choosy, so I believe maybe I can provide something for you. Come with me." So I led them to a cobweb-covered cattle cave nearby. It wasn't the best surroundings, and I must confess, but it did have some shelter from the cold and a little bit of privacy, though I considered it the, well, it wasn't a very good offering, but it was the best that I had. The man was overjoyed and couldn't stop thanking me for my kindness, and I told him, "Well, you can settle up with me the next morning." I left, and I went back and sat back down in my chair and soon forgot about all of them, and I dozed off again into dreamland. Well, lost in the midst of the dream castles in my peaceful slumber, I was awakened again, this time rudely, by a rather loud at the door. Jumping up again, I hastily paced to the door, and I was greeted by three shepherds. They apologized profusely for stirring me up out of my sleep. Now, it was rather obvious from the start that they weren't interested in a room. They went on to explain where they had come. You know, this is the best that I can recall of this fantastic story. "Sir," they said, "we've been watching over our flocks out on the hillsides nearby, and lo, an angel of the Lord appeared to us. And the glory of the Lord shone around us, and we were really afraid." And then the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Well, each of us looked at each other in amazement, and he wondered, well, if that angel knew what he was talking about, well, listen to me, men. This sign shall be for you. Yonder in the east, oh yeah, there's an eastern star shining bright. Follow that star, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he had no more finished that, sir, then when suddenly there was an angel of multitudes of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." Well, immediately we rejoiced at that sight of that star. So then we said to each other, "Sir, we got to come over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us." And so we came in haste, following the star, and you know, its light appears to fall over your place, right here, right above us. So, well, we wondered if you could tell us anything about the Christ child. It seemed like a fantastic story to me at first. I couldn't recall anything about a baby being connected to my business. After all, I wasn't running a hospital. These guys must be crazy, much less a maternity ward. But, you know, they insisted that I must know something. And since they seemed so intent on finding out more, I quickly recalled the guest that I batted down for the night over in that cave. Then it dawned on me. I had a couple who was expecting an addition to the family. And I led them over to the cattle cave. "Oh, yes," I exclaimed to these guys, "maybe I do know something about the baby. Come with me." And excitingly, I led them to that meager place. And lo and behold, we exclaimed in unison, "It's a baby crying!" Rushing in, we found it just as the shepherds had said, a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And as we moved towards the manger, one by one, the shepherds knelt down and beside the manger in such a humble manner. I can't really explain it, but what happened to me after that is somehow I was touched and I was moved to kneel beside that manger too. Wow! Not only had a baby been born in my place of business, but strangely, I felt this baby had also been born in my heart. Oh, incidentally, I never did settle up with that couple for the night's lodging. They never did pay me, and I forgot to ask them. I felt that, well, I had been repaid with more unsearchable riches, the riches of Christ, my Lord. Now, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But how often does it come in mind? I just think about it. I almost had no room for Christ. And as I had reflected on that across the years, it seemed to me that maybe something of a parable of the human predicament. You know, so often people exclude the Christ from the end of their hearts. How about you? Have you made room for him in your heart, and in your place. Oh, one more thing I forgot to tell you. I forgot to introduce myself, didn't I? I'm the innkeeper. I know it's not a personal testimony in effect, but it is in the third person. And sometimes we need to reflect on the old, old story of Jesus and his love, especially at Advent time. Sometimes I think we take the history of that story just too for granted, and we don't really realize. But it's recorded also in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 in the New Living Translation. I want to share it with you. Hear God's word. At the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. It was the first census taken since Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own town to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in the Galilee, and he took his wife Mary with him, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, a time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. Well, may God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word, the Christmas story. Christ manifested in the flesh, God Almighty coming to earth to live with us. We had a wonderful thing at church this past Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Craig and Janie Zodi. Craig is Phil and Betty's daughter, and they used to attend here years ago. They were telling us that they were married in that church 30 years ago. So it was nice to have them come back. Craig is a gifted musician, and Janie's got a beautiful singing voice. So our own Travis Oakes, our musical director extraordinaire, also brought a song that he wrote and sang, and I hope you get a chance to listen to it. I know Phil's going to have it on the website, so I hope and pray that you listen to it. It's a powerful song. And then Judy, my wife Judy, and Travis, they did a special, one of Bing Crosby's songs. Irving Berlin, I think, wrote it, and it was part of a movie, and I don't remember the lady in the movie, but they were sitting at the piano, and Bing Crosby was playing the piano, and they started to sing White Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas like the one I used to know. Well, I'm an old Yankee, so I know about white Christmases. But we had a good time. It was a time of fellowship, and for an hour we sang the old Christmas carols out of the hymnal, and even some secular music, you know, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It brought back an awful lot of wonderful memories of our youth and our faith that we grew up with. And my heart breaks that some of the young people today never get to experience church in that way. I had a lady tell me that, you know, I wish I would have went to church my younger years to learn all this stuff. I'm glad I'm learning it now, but I miss so much of that story of Christ and the birth and Christmas meaning so much to us. You know, the word Christmas simply means Christ Mass. In the Catholic tradition, they call worship service Mass, and they celebrate all of the things about God sending his son into the world. Well, there's a lot of prayer requests, and we think about prayer requests, and we think about people, and we love people. We love praying for people. There was a couple prayer requests that was given to Phil or put in the offering plate or whatever. It's you'll see them on your bulletin, and you'll see them up on the prayer concerns, and there's many, and we have a hard time mentioning them all by name, but the most important thing, God knows. And you've heard me say before, you know, prayer is important. 800 numbers to a prayer line is good, but you don't need a 800 number or a prayer line, because Christ came into this world and he allowed that veil to be rent in two when he gave up the ghost hanging on the cross. What's that mean, preacher? It means we can talk to God directly. We don't need a priest. We don't need anybody. We can go and say, Father, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I understand that I can use his name and come directly to you. And that's what we do. So we lift up all of those prayers that are in the bulletin and prayer requests that was mentioned aloud. We come into a time of agreement with them and for them. And more importantly, Jesus realized that disciples, they wanted to learn how to pray. And he gave them a model prayer for all of their prayers to line up with. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And we close this session with that prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I hope your hearts are being prepared for the celebration of the birth of Christ the King. Have a good day.